Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
2 months. 2 months. It has been 2 months, y'all, since we have gathered in our campuses for worship. And I want you to know straight up from the beginning how I feel about that, okay? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Now, I love the fact that we have the team and the tech that was able to transition all of the ministry of our church online just like that in a really effective ways. But I don't like preaching to an empty room. I don't like doing my community group on FaceTime. I don't like the fact that our outreach team seems to be primarily in relief mode rather than development mode. I'm ready to shift. Really, I'm ready to get back to normal. And am I the only one here? Now, here's been the hard reality check, though, for me, and maybe for many of you over the last couple weeks. So, there ain't no going back to normal. See, we need to grieve and then leave the life we once knew because we're never going back. Instead, I believe there's going to be a new normal. And we're at this unique moment right now where we get a chance to create. Now, all the articles that I'm reading online are saying that there could be several things that will be a part of our new normal. Here are a couple of practical things that you're probably experiencing now during COVID-19 that could now be a staple of our lives. Working from home. Lots of organizations are saying, why are we paying utilities and the lease if our staff is still as productive working from home? Digital meetings. I mean, is anyone more efficient on Zoom? Is anyone absolutely tired of Zoom? Has anyone realized that all those meetings could have just been an email to begin with, right? One of the unintended blessings of COVID-19. Telehealth is here to stay. Curbside service, no contact delivery. They're saying that's here to stay, and all the introverts are thankful. Garage gyms, online workout communities, Peloton, here to stay. Right? Now, I miss my workout community, but I know at least 10 people who've bought one of these bikes over the last couple months. NTI and online education models, they're here to stay. And online church, it's here to stay. See, I think people are gonna come back stronger, but I also think people are gonna start taking a both-and approach when it comes to church. They're gonna utilize online to strengthen their relationships with others and Jesus, but also continue to meet in some of the old school ways. Now, check this out, y'all, check this out. I want you to realize right now that all of these things on the board behind me were things that were already realities before the coronavirus. In fact, many people were doing these things. But the vast majority of the American populace was not. And the reason why is because most of us are human. We're resistant to change. But COVID-19 has forced this change down our throats. There's going to be a new normal. Now, I don't think anything behind me right now is necessarily a bad thing. They can all be leveraged for good. But here is my one big fear as your pastor. I fear that if we aren't careful, our new normal will just be more of the same, except worse. See, we were already living in a culture that was absolutely addicted to productivity, weren't we? To efficiency. And everything on that list, if we're not careful, will take us further down that road in our addiction to productivity and efficiency. We're already a culture that was experiencing this disconnection with others. Relationship with both God and others around us were faltering. And if we're not careful, everything on that board behind me, well, it'll lead us to spend more time face to screen rather than face to face with others. See, we were already living in an age of overload and through an epidemic of loneliness. And if we're not careful, the new normal that we create will just be more of the same. Right, let's talk about this for a second. Right? Let's talk about this age of overload and epidemic of loneliness. We talk about it a lot here, but I think it's important to just call it like it is. We're already living in an age of overload. And I've made a list for you of some of the different overloads that I know you've experienced. You experience calendar overload as your calendar stacks up. Availability overload, especially now that we're experiencing this work-home meld. With some of you working at home, it's like, how do I set boundaries? Some people experience brand-building overload, especially young people, because with social media platforms, you feel this pressure to post everything you do, because if you don't post it, did it really happen? There's connection overload. You're connected to literally everybody you've ever met since like high school, because of Facebook, and every company you've ever even driven past is like sending you emails now about COVID-19, and we value our customers. Then there's news overload, 24/7 news cycle. There's errand overload, like some of the things that our grandparents did every day, we're so busy that we can't do. We're like outsourcing mowing the lawn, vacuuming the car, cleaning the house, sharpening the knives. Why? Because we're just so busy. There's I have kids overload, because your kid's schedule on your schedule just makes things even more crazy. Information overload, because you can Google literally anything. And this all funnels down, all of it, to the one king overload of them all. And that's efficiency overload. We live in a culture that is addicted, that idolizes efficiency for the sake of productivity so that we can achieve more. See, we live in an individualistic culture. And in individualistic cultures, an individual's worth depends on their achievements. Your value, your status, your significance in the eyes of others depends on how much you're able to accomplish. And so all of us are out to just optimize our lives. I was reading a book this past week and it made this interesting observation. The reason why I wrote it is because I'm so guilty of this. Some of us won't even give ourselves permission to do whatever we want anymore. To like chill, rest, hang out. I'll raise both hands for just a second. The book was by a lady named Jenny Odell. It was called How to Do Nothing. She's not a Christian, or at least the book's not necessarily a Christian book. But I felt like when I read those first few chapters, it was a personal attack on me. I'll read you one quote from it and tell me if you identify with it. She writes, "In a situation where every waking moment has become the time in which we are making our living, and when we submit even our leisure time for numerical evaluation via likes on Facebook and Instagram, constantly checking on our performance like one checks a stock, monitoring the ongoing development of our personal brand, time becomes an economic resource that we can no longer justify spending on nothing. It provides no return on investment, so it is simply too expensive." In short, this is the thesis of her book: nothing is harder to do than nothing. Now, next time, just at me, Jenny, okay? She goes on in her book to absolutely slam this micro-tasking website called Fiverr. What's a micro-tasking website, Tyler? Okay, if you don't know, then don't know, right? But it's just something that makes people even more efficient, right? In 2018, this micro-tasking website, Fiverr, came out with this ad campaign. And these ads represent everything that's wrong with our country today. I want to show you just one of them. You can read it. It says, "You eat a coffee for lunch. You follow through on your follow through. Sleep deprivation is your drug of choice. You might be a doer. In doers we trust." Now I want you to think about that for a second. Think about it. You know what that ad is doing? That ad is literally celebrating working yourself to death. It's ridiculing anyone who thinks like a 30-minute lunch break and adequate sleep is a good idea. And that's the culture we live in, a culture where we are overloaded to the max. And it doesn't matter what your life vocation is, from the stay-at-home parent to the Fortune 500 CEO and everyone in between, we all feel overloaded. And overload has become normal. "Hey, how you doing this week?" "Busy." That's the normal response. And yet deep down inside, you know what we all know? We all know that it's not supposed to be normal. So while we talk about going back to normal, I wish things would just get back to normal. I gotta be honest with you. There is no normal left to go back to because the pace of our lives is already abnormal. And we have an opportunity in this moment to create a new normal going forward. But here's my fear. If we're not careful, our new normal will just be more of the same, except worse. Or in the words of the wise author of Proverbs 26, as a dog returns to its vomit, beautiful image, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Now, we're also living through an epidemic of loneliness. We're the most connected generation ever, but the loneliest generation ever at the same time. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about some of the sad statistics surrounding loneliness in our culture. You may remember these. Nearly half of Americans, half, report sometimes or always feeling alone or left out. Only half of Americans have meaningful in-person social relationships on a daily basis, and Generation Z is the loneliest generation in American history. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, I read a study from the University of Michigan that pointed out that college students that graduated after the year 2000 are showing a 40% drop in empathy from college students of earlier decades. Now, why? Well, the study goes on to show that empathy is like a muscle. It's a muscle. And you can build it up, or it'll atrophy if you don't use it with time. And how do you build up this muscle? In-person interactions. And yet my generation and all the rest of the grads after 2000 are spending more time face to screen than any generation ever before. And it's face to face that builds that empathy muscle. Look, and this was a problem before COVID-19. I found it really interesting when the World Health Organization came out and said, we wish we would have called it physical distancing, not social distancing. Because social distancing implies social disconnection, and that's the last thing anyone in our country needs right now. So don't you see, it's a loneliness epidemic. It's become normal. But deep down inside, we all know that loneliness is not supposed to be normal. And we have an opportunity right now to create a new normal going forward. But here's my fear. If we're not careful, our new normal will just be more of the same, except worse. Proverbs 26, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his foolishness. Now, there is an alternative though. There is an alternative. Here's the alternative. What if we actually learned from this? What if we just created a new normal? My favorite question during COVID-19 has been to ask people, what's God teaching you through this? And I've heard two responses over and over from folks. They really fall in one of two categories. One, I need to slow down. Or two, I need my people. And what if God is trying to teach us, remind us of the lives he created us to live? I got a friend who didn't get laid off during COVID-19, but her workload got cut back dramatically. And she said during those first couple weeks, it was like a detox period where she was just depressed. She'd wake up, she didn't have any boxes to check off. There was no goals to cross off. It felt like this piece of her identity had gotten ripped out of her. But after she detoxed and got through those dark days, she came to this realization that she could spend her time on other things, healthy things, like spending quality time with her kids or developing a habit of prayer. And that's what she's doing. And I wonder if God's trying to teach us through this. And my son Palmer during COVID-19 decided to develop a prayer book where he could pray for all of his friends. Why? Because he missed his friends and he wanted to figure out a way to connect with them. So he had me and his mom make this video of him on our smartphones, and then we sent it out to all of his friends. You can check it out real quick. He's a pretty cute kid.
Hey, it's Pablo. What can I be praying for you? Because I want to make a prayer book.
All right, shameless plug for my cute kid. Okay, he's a cute kid. But here's the interesting thing. All of Palmer's friends are anywhere from like 3 to 8 years old. And almost every single one of them sent back the exact same message. I miss my people. Pray that God would let me see my friends again soon. My grandma again soon. My teachers again soon. And from the mouth of the little children come the truth. You know, you've probably heard the governor said again, May 25th, we'll be able to gather in groups of 10, which I'm really excited about. In fact, our community group has already started planning out how our church is gonna look like. We're a group that's bigger than 10 already. Plus, we have about 700 kids in our group under the age of 10. So we're realizing like we can't all meet at once. And the kids don't know how to social distance. So what we've decided is we've decided to create two church campuses from our group, the guys' church and the girls' church. Okay, so what's gonna happen is the guys are gonna meet while the girls all stay at their respective homes with the kids, and then we'll swap and the girls will go, and they'll be able to do church together. Super excited about it. But Lindsay made this very clear. She said, I've discussed this with the girls. And we just want all the guys to know that girls' church is gonna be about 5 or 6 hours long. Have fun with the kids. Now, what's at the heart of that? Well, I'll tell you what's at the heart of that. I know my wife's stir crazy, and she's ready to get back with her friends. Her friends are important to her. And I know the same is true for you. Same is true for me. So I wonder, what if God's trying to teach us something right now? Or let me say it to you in even more explicitly Christian terms here. Could it be the Holy Spirit is convicting and sanctifying a culture, even right now, who's lost its way? I believe that that's the case. And there is only one way to respond to the pain of conviction. And that's with the thrill of obedience. What an opportunity we have right now to create a new normal. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time. I want to give you five practices that will help you create a new normal. And I'm not even gonna ask you to do all five of them. What I'm gonna ask you is, as we go through the first four, I want you to pick one. I want you to write it down. I want you to write down the memory verses that come along with it. Tyler, did you say memory verses? Yeah, what are those? They're verses you memorize, all right? So I want you to write down one, write down the memory verses, come up with an action plan in any one of the first four, and then I'm gonna ask everyone in our church to commit to the fifth one together. So you have two pieces of homework. You get to pick one, and I've picked one for you. Are you ready? Let's work our way through, all right? Here's new normal action step number one. Selfless self-care. The better you care for you, the better you care for others. Galatians 5:14, the Apostle Paul writes, for the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when the Apostle Paul writes this, he's actually ripping this from Jesus' two great commandments in Matthew chapter 22. You probably know those if you've been here long. Jesus says, I can sum up the whole law in these two, love God and love neighbor. Basically, Jesus says, here's your two priorities, Jesus followers. Love God is 1A, love neighbor is 1B, which means, where does love me fall? Well, love me can be no higher than number 3. And yet, what I find so profound about this great commandment here that Paul calls out is the idea that loving yourself is already baked into it. You see, you'll only be able to love others well when you begin to understand how loved you are and show selfless self-care to yourself. Hey, if you struggle with self-loathing, shame, guilt, I want to encourage you this week to step in to the deep acceptance and the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father. Until you love you, you will never be able to love others at your maximum potential. And here's what I really want to challenge everyone to do. Pick up practices of selfless self-care. See, you know what the old way was in the old normal? It wasn't self-care. It was either self-indulgence or self-medication. That's what we did. We'd self-indulge or we just self-medicate on drugs, on alcohol, on pornography, on screens, on food, whatever your choice was. And the only thing self-medicating does is it just blunts the stress in our life for a couple hours. And then we come back even more unhealthy and even more addicted than we step in. Now, you know what the biblical prescription is, though? It's not self-indulgence, and it's not self-medication. It's self-control. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:22, The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's where selfless self-care often starts. Here's the second practice I would encourage you to consider. It's create a new normal, y'all. Intimacy with God. I want to challenge you to embrace the disciplines of disengagement for the result of re-engagement with him. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Psalm 27, verse 4, the psalmist says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, there's just one, the thing I seek most is to just be with him, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Now, it was fascinating to me. It was probably a couple months ago. I felt like God just impressed upon me in my quiet time this thought. He said, Tyler, you work so hard for me, but do you really know me? Pastor Tyler, am I just your boss? Or am I your heavenly father? And it shook me up because, to be honest with you, sometimes I don't take these disciplines of disengagement serious enough. So here's the interesting thing about the moment we're living in. Some of you guys have some unanticipated margin in your life. And I would encourage you to invest it here. You know what a discipline of disengagement is? It's anything that allows you to disengage from the hustle and bustle of everyday life and connect with God. Solitude, silence, Sabbath, stillness, rest, scripture study, prayer. You know what I think would change the world in a moment? If every Christian were to just cut their streaming service time in half and invest it in disciplines of disengagement. Think about that. I read an article last year that said the average American spends over 30 hours a week watching screens. Over 30 hours. What if we just took like 10 to 15 of those hours and invested them in these disciplines? Not only would it change Louisville, but it would change you and it would change me as well. So here's the diabolical thing about screens, streaming service like Netflix. Okay, when Netflix first came out, you remember all of us were like, oh, you know, I could stream all these things and binge watch, and it's like literally anything I want to, and binge this, binge that. And now here we are 10 years later, and it's gotten even better. There's like 5 or 6 major streaming services and 100x the content out there. And yet what I see constantly is people posting on Facebook, I need a new show. If you're anything like me, you'll turn on your show and you'll find yourself Googling during the show, best shows on Netflix, 2019, 2020, trying to find something new. Okay, why? Why? Because streaming services seem filling on the front end, but they end up boring on the back end. And it's the exact opposite for intimacy with God. It may seem boring to disengage from life and engage with him on the front end, but it's filling over time on the back end. So I want to encourage you into these disciplines. Third idea, three, the gift of presence. This is something we need to practice here, the gift of presence. This is enjoying God's good creation by being in the moment. John 3:23, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and check this out, he just spent some time with them there. Spent time with them. Romans 12:16 says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Now, here's one thing I can promise you. When COVID-19 is over, it's gonna be a long time before I take for granted the physical presence of others. I mean, Zoom is great and everything, but sometimes you just need to hug someone, right? By the time you're watching this, I will have done an online funeral, online baby dedication, and online ordinations over the last 2 months. And while I'm glad that we still got all those done and they're faithful, I would have much rather been there in person. Just seems something missing when we can't physically engage with others. So here are some of the promises that I am making when I get back from COVID-19. I'm gonna eat more with others. I'm gonna never miss Sunday church because I miss Sunday church. I'm gonna put down my phone more often. I'm gonna be grateful for ordinary moments with friends, and I'm gonna spend more time outside. Have you noticed, like, get home from work or get done with work at the end of the day, it's like 5 o'clock and you go on a walk or maybe you exercise outside and it's like everybody in the neighborhood all of a sudden is outside breathing in the fresh air. I've met more of my neighbors during COVID-19 social distancing the last 2 months than the year and a half that we've lived in our new neighborhood. I love it. There's something enriching about being in God's creation. Look, in the beginning, you know what God said? God created the world and he created human beings and he said it was good. And if it was good enough for him in the beginning, then it should be good enough for me. Practice number four, sacrificial generosity. This is giving outside of my comfort zone. Acts 20 verse 35, Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Luke 21 verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Now, just like the Great Depression scarred our grandparents, this economic recession that we are in right now, greatest economic recession since then, is going to scar us. Because no matter how well off you've been, you've experienced, to some degree, need, scarcity, and shortage during this time. I remember I was a little late getting to the grocery store at the beginning of all this, and everything was gone. There were no eggs when I got there, no rice, no bread, no meat on the shelf. Certainly there wasn't any toilet paper. There weren't even any sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes. So I remember that first week or two, we had to basically just eat what was in our fridge and freezer, which was a lot of bacon. We had lots of bacon in our freezer, which means life was pretty good for us, actually, eating bacon twice a day. Okay, we did okay. In fact, Lindsay and I have been blessed during this season. Neither one of us have had to lose our jobs. I'm a preacher. She's a teacher. And yet I still realize that my son at 5 years old is experiencing something right now that I haven't experienced in 30, 40 years on this earth. And that's shortage. Shortage on grocery shelves. So Lindsay and I knew that we could respond to this in one of two ways. We could panic, hoard, and stop trusting in God, take matters into our own hands. Or we could be thankful, grateful, place all of our trust in him, and realize that he's blessed us in this moment to be more generous in this moment. Need is rising, so generosity must rise. And that's what we've chosen over the last couple months, and God has given us this sense of contentment and provision. One of my friends told me recently that their family actually has more disposable income accessible to them right now. And I was like, why? And she said, well, because retail stores are closed, can't go to them. Bars and restaurants are closed, can't go to them. And vacation, canceled, can't go to it. It's almost as if we're all realizing that we could live without retail therapy, right? So let me say this to you as gently as I can. After COVID-19 is over, there will still be great need in this city. And after COVID-19 is over, you still won't need to spend as much on all of those wants as you once did. See, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that through COVID-19, we will learn to tell the difference between what we want and what we need. And at the end of all this, it'll make us all more content and generous with those who are struggling with true need. All right, that brings me to number five. I hope you've circled one of the previous four. We'll review in a bit. But the fifth one here, I wanna challenge our entire church to embrace. And really, you don't have any choice if you wanna follow Jesus during this season. Number five, missional living. Missional living. It's putting the mission of the church back into the hands of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And here's their responsibility. Their responsibility is to do the work. No, no, no. It's not to do the work. It's to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, church, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Our staff is energized right now. As tragic as this season has been, they are energized. We have this renewed sense of mission. And you want to know why? Because COVID-19 has put the mission of the church back into the hands of the church. Not a single person on our team got into the business of church to do a really cool worship hour on Sundays. I love Sunday gatherings. I love preaching. It's one of God's callings on my life. But here's why I love preaching. Not to make a room laugh or to wow people with my communication gift. It's to see real lives change for Jesus. Our pastors are in this to equip you, to unleash Jesus' love every day, everybody, everywhere, in the home, workplace, city, and church. We want to see you thrive in Jesus. We want to be equippers, if you will, not just doers. And there has been a leadership shift during this season. Only you can pastor your kids right now. All we can do is stand in front of cameras and teach and equip, call you on the phone and encourage, get on Zoom calls and build you up and help you problem solve. Only you can love your neighborhood right now. You are the pastor of your little house church. And that couldn't make me more excited. See, it used to frustrate me so much when people would pick up the phone and they would call us and they would say, hey, there's someone at my workplace and they're in the hospital and can you send someone from the church? Or there's someone in my neighborhood and they're in great need and can you send someone from the church to help? Or there's somebody in my family and they have some really hard questions and they may want to come to Jesus, but somebody needs to talk to them, and so can you send someone from the church? Oh, that would frustrate me so much. So we've coached our staff to answer that question in the same way. Here's how we'll answer it. Sure, we'll send someone from the church. What's your availability? See, here's the reality. You are the someone from the church. So if you believe this city needs the church right now, if you believe your neighborhood needs the church right now, if you believe your kids or your family or your friends or your workplace or your loved one needs the church right now, you're probably right. And you're the church. So go be the church. God has pushed us all into the deep end during this season. And he said, sink or swim. And here's what I know about you. You know how to swim. Because you're a part of the Love the Ville Church, and we have taught you from day one to unleash Jesus' love every day, everybody, everywhere. So go unleash the love. It's what you're made to do. All right, quick review. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to pick one of the first four on your own. I want together our church to resolve to do number 5 corporately as a body. And together, I want us to create a new normal. Hey, if we're not careful, our new normal will just be more of the same. No? And let's just call it like it is. The pace that we lived at and our sense of disconnection and our relationships with God and others, that was not normal. It was abnormal. So we have an opportunity right now to seize the moment and create something newer, create something more faithful as we move forward with God. Let's not miss this opportunity to draw nearer to him.